elderly come into my life, apart from myself. That was because at one point the Sainsbury family set up a series of trusts, and they made clear that one of the areas they were particularly interested in providing grants for was problems of the elderly. Well, the man they appointed as their advisor on which grants to give and not to give was a man called Hugh de Ketville. Mm-hmm. And Hugh de Ketville said, the one man who really knows about research is Mark Abrams. So why don't we get him to tell us what research is needed on the elderly? He approached me. I said, yes, fine, I'll write a paper for you on it, but give me a week to read what's available, because I know nothing about it, except some research I'd done in 1947 on the condition of the elderly for old Seaborn Rowntree, who refused, incidentally, to let it be published because it ran counter to his particular line on what should be done for the elderly. Anyway, I went through the stuff and I said, really, you don't need any more research on the elderly. There's enough research already done for policymakers, if they are concerned about the elderly, to start doing useful things right away. Mm. There's lots of information available. They said, well, that's not good enough. We've got to spend our money in this direction. So I said, all right, well, there are two things you can do. First of all, produce sort of compendiums of available material. Call them profiles of the elderly. Mm. You will bring together all research that's been done on their housing conditions, on their diets, on their standards of living, on their migration habits, and so on. All that's available. It's just a question of getting someone to go through all the material and bring it together in a series of profiles like this. And that'll be one good thing. Then everyone can get a copy and will say, then I mustn't do that survey again for the third time. It's already been done twice. I said the other thing that's important is that the real problem of the elderly for the rest of this century is going to be the old elderly, the people 75 and over. Whereas nearly everyone so far, has done research on the elderly defined as 65 and over, or else of pensionable age. Mm. And people of 60, 65, they're not really elderly. A proportion of them are working, and those that aren't working are pretty active. It's 75 and over that are going to be the real burden, the problem in the future. You get a higher degree of dementia among them, you get a higher degree of physical incapacity, you get a great deal of loneliness, you get a high proportion who are living alone, and you get completely inadequate residential accommodation for them. And none of this is aired, and no one is yet apparently adequately aware of the fact that the great increase in elderly population from now on is not going to be the 65s to 74s. They're going to actually decrease in numbers. It's the 75s and over which are going to go up by 20%, 25%, 30%, 35%. We don't know yet, but it's obviously going to be an increase of that order. Phone the captain and say, that sounds fine. Those two projects we think are fine. I said, good, thank you. And he said, well, you know, we'll pay you for this. And I said, that's all right, well, I'll leave that to you. I don't know what it's worth. And he said, well, of course, we can't pay you as an individual. We have to dispense funds through an organization, a charitable organization or an academic organization. And he said, how do you feel about Age Concern acting as the intermediaries? Mm. Well, sure, that's okay with me, I don't care. He said, all right, well, I'll send them a check for £2,000. How much? £2,000. And they will simply transfer it to you as a consultancy fee, they can call it that. And he said, now the next thing is, who does the work, the research? I said, well, you know, any really serious, competent person who applies himself to what is available can do the work. Mm. He said, no, the committee has met and we want you to do those two projects. I said, well, I can't, I'm busy with research services. And the captain said, well, look, why don't you resign from research services, retire, it's about time you retire.
So this is after you've already had time off for doing the SSRC work.
Yeah.
You went back to research services?
No. I'm still at the SSRC.
Right. But you were on research services books or their committee or something?
I was on their pension roll and so on. I had contacts with them, very vague kind. Mm. So I said, all right, they were already thinking of closing down the survey research unit at the SSRC. Mm. And first of all, they asked me to stay on an extra 3 months, and I did. And then they said, would I stay on another year? Feebly, I said yes. And then I said, enough's enough, I'm now leaving. I'm going to join Age Concern as the head of their research unit. That's fine. So I saw David Hodman of Age Concern, and he said, well, you know, how much time can you devote to this? And I said, well, not a great deal, because I'm still interested in a lot of other things that I want to follow up. 2 days a week, how's that? He said, yes, all right, fine. So we agreed a salary, which was pretty modest, I think, of $4,000 a year. Which compared with what I was getting even at the SSRC was modest. And compared with what I had got if I'd gone back full time to research services was extremely modest. But, you know, seemed to me something that I would like to do. So he said, yes, all right, they could pay that. And I said, oh, by the way, the check for $2,000 that De Ketville gave you. He said, oh yes, well, what we've done with that is we'll send on to you a check for £300 and the rest we'll keep, you know, for sort of overheads. I said, what overheads? And he said, well, you know, sort of, you always have overheads in any sort of organisation. And I thought, you absolute bastard. But it didn't make any difference. I took the check that they sent me, and I never told De Ketville, although I should have done, I think, that the money had gone not to me, but to Hoffman's outfit. And they produced, I think, £60,000 at Sainsbury Trust, which went to Age Concern. And for about 2 years, 3 years, I worked on these two projects of the Profiles series and then the 75s and over, which was a survey study. And since then I followed it up was a grant, again, through Age Concern from the Nuffield people to do a longitudinal study of aging, what happens to people as they age and so on. Can one find in early material predictors of non-survival? And can one find predictors of survival, but poor survival as compared to good survival? And I've done that, and I think the material is good. The people in Germany who have seen it, I'd read at the international conference there, said they thought it was extremely interesting, and my data was unknown there, and would I please hurry up and publish it? And then I sent a copy to Bernard Isaacs, who's the professor of psychiatric gerontology at Birmingham University, and he wrote back and said he thought it was fascinating, and would I please prepare it as an article for the British Medical Journal, which I never had done. I keep thinking, well, maybe next weekend when there's no one at Brighton, I will do it then. I haven't done it yet. One gets lazier, you know, as one gets older. Now, what more can we discuss? You know more than you need to know about me.
Well, tell me more about your view of what Philip did in his research and how that developed and his thinking.
Philip's interest in research.
Well, should we take a break and have a cup of tea?
No,
I think I'd quite like it.